can't believe we're back.
Well, Paul, here we are.
It's weird being here doing it like this again.
Is it?
It is, because this is like the fledgling days of Cheap Show. Hello, everybody. By the way, just to explain, ladies and gentlemen. Shush, I'm trying to explain.
Shush me?
Them. They're talking over me.
Are they?
Their voices in my head. They're interrupting my thoughts. No.
Get out, demon.
Get out, demon.
You can't kill me. Whack me off.
Don't need voice of the mayor for that. With all that being said, we are back for the longest time in the OG House of Pickles.
That's right, Paul. It's the House of Pickles. This is my abode, and this is where I reign. I reign supreme.
Yeah, you reign hot cream.
I reign hot cream.
Yeah, you reign hot belly cream.
That's where the belly cream flies.
I don't like it here.
The belly cream flies.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
I'm sitting facing you. You're sat on your bed.
I'm sat here.
I'm surrounded by the detritus of your existence.
Now,
and
be fair, I have sorted it somewhat.
You know what? You have, because last time I was here, and I'm sure you don't particularly mind me saying this, but it was a godforsaken shithole.
It was.
With no leg space, no leg room, no places to put your feet, clothes, food, records, such and things.
Such and things all piled up.
To your credit, you have cleaned this space up nicely, for I am sat on a normal chair.
A normal chair, normal desk space.
With leg room. Look, I'm stretching out a little bit.
Oh, it's got some leg room.
It's a little bit of leg room and...
Fly with House of Pickles air. Extra leg room.
Oh.
Mind the demon.
Bong. Excuse me, stewardess.
Yes?
Could you get rid of this demon for me, please?
Oh, he's a fixture of the plane.
Yeah, but I ordered a banshee and this is clearly a demon.
A banshee out on the wing. If you look out on the wing, it's a gremlin, in fact.
Oh, a Twilight Zone reference. I like that.
Oh, well, Paul.
Yeah. Bye, improv scene. Go on.
You don't have to say goodbye to
I
the
said
improv.
Goodbye. I had to.
The scene isn't a sentient being.
It is.
It's the House of Pickles. New rules. I'm in charge here.
You're not in charge at
Bollock
all.
Bollock smell.
What?
What's coming up on the... Are we doing...
You're fucking it. You're fucking it. Hello, we're back in the House of Pickles, and it's time for a Cheap Show, so let's start the show.
Cheap Show time!
It's the price of shite!
Cheap Show time!
Welcome to Cheap Show. Fucking pigeons are throwing themselves at
your
window.
No, he's up there. Scratchy. Yeah.
Do you want to tell them about the new addition to your House of Pickles, the family?
What's the new addition?
Well, they're a band with Bobby Brown, but that's not important right now. I'm talking about... the fucking shut up! It was a joke. We don't often do them.
Oof. Oof.
The pigeon family.
Oof. Oof.
Oof.
Oh, the pigeon family. I don't know what generation they're on, but they've been
three.
Out there.
At least three. Yeah.
Chirping. And the little baby ones, what noise do they make? No, they're not kissy-kissy. They're like...
And little scousers.
Ich, ich.
As you would say.
Oh, I used to say that when I had a soul.
Anyway, welcome to Cheap Show, the economy comedy podcast, where each week Eli and I go through bargain bins, charity shops, and discount... stores.
it's so close.
And find the fun and the frugal and the treasure amongst the trash, and we
That's
bring
right.
it to you, whether it's food, whether it be game, whether it be book, whether it be toy, whether it be gadget, whether it be snack, whether it be treat.
I've
we
got
bring
one.
It to you,
whether it be something folded up in a piece of paper.
You don't have one then, do
no,
you?
I've, that's just... I've got another one, whether it be bottle.
No, right, I'll give
got
you bottle
one. Yeah, whether I hollowed out book with a locket in and a piece of hair.
Whether it be
love.
Something else specifically randomly odd and out of place with them.
Whether it be, snooker case. Is there a snooker cue in? No, there isn't. But there is a faint powder.
God.
There's a faint powder whiff in this snooker case.
What are you talking about? Look, on the show today, we've got a little bit of sauce, right?
Oh, now.
And we've got a bit
now,
of a page turner.
The merriment must end now.
Why?
Because you've mentioned a serious word.
Oh, and the sauce. So when the sauce happens, then you start giving a fuck.
As king of the House of Pickles and reigning champion.
Of what?
Of just things. I'm just good at things.
Yeah, belly reign of champions.
Belly reign
Sticky white belly reign of champions.
Man fat reign.
Man fat reign. One a penny, two a penny, man fat reign. What about that?
Splitter splatter,
man fat reign.
Where comest down?
Shut up.
Where comest down the man from Rain? I don't know what's going on.
While you're having a mental breakdown,
no,
I'm just
I want to know what's coming up on the show.
I just I said noodles, and then I said a bit of a page turner as well. We've got a little bit of a book for you.
Whether it be...
No, there's no more whether it be. Whether it be is whether it gone. All
whether
right?
it be...
I preferred the one a penny to a fenny man fat peas. What was I saying? What did we say?
Marrow fat peas.
Oh, yeah, marrow fat peas. What is a marrow fat? What does that mean?
It means it's an old dish, Paul.
Yeah.
It's a traditional dish of England.
All right, thank you for the clarification.
And it's known as a confit.
No, confit is when you stick something in fat, isn't it? And you let them bake.
Cook it slowly in fat, yes.
No, you just let it soak in fat.
Marrow fat.
You don't know, do you?
No.
You're right, cunt. Right.
I'm a right cunt.
You are a right cunt. So, can I just say this before we get to our merriment?
Advert for the live show.
Advert. One last advert for the live show. On the 19th of October, as part of the Cheerful Earful Podcast Festival, we are doing our live show for y'all on 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 19th of October, at the
It's the Bedford Arms.
Bedford Arms, thank you. Tickets are still on sale.
There's Tickety boo!
But only a few minds. So if you do want to come and you go, oh, fuck it, I'll go to London, South London, and I'll see a comedy show in the afternoon, and you better get them quick.
Squeeze you in.
We got Lethal Orange? No, not Lethal Orange.
Lethal Oranges.
We've got Lethal Oranges, who's brought along Ethan Lawrence. He's going to be there. He's our special guest, as well as actress, comedian Suze Kempner. She's going to be there as well. And Ash Frith, who doesn't know it yet, but if he's listened to this, guess what, Ash? You're the scorekeeper. That's going to be your role.
A stellar lineup for our big show, everybody. 19th, Bedford Arms.
And
Balham, closest to Balham.
And I hope you don't mind a little bit of a spoiler, but if people for a while have been saying, Paul Eli, come on, 3 times spicy noodles. But when? 19th of October. We have got a noodle apocalypse awaiting you there.
We've built it into the structure of the show and the competition amongst the guests.
Yes, and it will be a competition-focused version of the show. Oh, fucking Nora. Right, so there's also going to be...
Why did you do that, then?
A Silverman's Platter segment, a Price of Shite, a Gannon's Golden Games.
All the fun of the Cheap Show Fair.
Candyland
time. It's a smorgasbord of Cheap Show-related segments and segmentettes.
There'll be music and sketches and games and laughs.
Do you know what happens, Paul?
Laughs.
When a segment meets a segmentette.
They have segments.
They have segs. They have hard, rough, alleyway segs.
Well, I'm going to use that as a segue to get into the rest of this week's episode.
It's seg crazy!
It's not. Don't make
it sound... I'm seg crazy.
You just made it sound like a Steve Wright in the Afternoon Show now with that. Oh, it's seg crazy.
Oh, no. Oh, someone's calling up, Paul.
Oh, no.
Oh, I have to answer this.
Go on.
Hello. Hello, it's Mr. Seg. What? Is that Paul?
Yes.
Mr. Seg. Oopsie. Hello. Are you going to say something then?
I really can't say anything to this, can
Please
I?
Please say something to Mr. Seg.
How about go away, Mr. Seg?
All right, if you're going to be like that.
It's just teen Yeti voice,
well,
mate.
Team, what? No, it isn't. I'm Mr. Seg, you told me.
Hey, everybody, look what I've just found. It's the bag of Eli's talent. Let's have a look inside. Oh, it is empty.
There's lots of talent in there.
I'm trying to shake it out. There's nothing in there.
All right, I'm going to show my talent for moving on. I can do voices. Moving on.
This is tragic.
What's tragic?
You trying to move things on and for a moment take some kind of responsibility for the podcast.
Listen, I feel...
And then the baggeth openeth.
The bag of my talent.
And
how
I...
dare you represent my talent as a bag? My talent's a throne. My talent's a shining star in the multiverse of multiplexes. Ooh, multifaceted.
Oh, here we go. Just keep fucking talking until you think something happens.
It was more fun than you.
Well, I'm not doing anything. And even that is better than what that was.
Oh, I had an idea for a show.
About 7 minutes and I'm bored of
this. Oh, here we go. Here's the timer.
Yeah.
Here's the timer of doom. The fucking party warden's back. The fun warden. He'll limit your language and he'll come in and he'll say the time. Tick-tock to death.
I'm called the Joy Patrol,
the
actually.
He's part of the Joy Patrol.
Yeah, I'm the Joy Patrol.
Long-time listeners will know we do like to take a format, split it up into segments, juggle those segments around, change a segment.
Focus.
Maybe.
You don't need to elaborate on that.
Sprinkle some magic on a segment.
Get to the part where you make the salient point.
I thought we could, but we're always so full of content, our shows, Paul. There's content, there's this, there's my wit, there's your exasperation.
I would literally rather stab myself in the dick than listen to the rest of this.
Well, you're going to have to listen to it twice, so you better get used to it.
I am, aren't I?
Yes.
Because I have to fucking edit this.
Yes.
So I have to wade through this, and my brain's going, can I cut this? I'm going to cut this.
Paul, don't cut this. Paul. My idea is a no-content edition of Cheap Show.
Some would argue that's every fucking week.
No, let's do it where we can't actually discuss any content.
What does that mean?
Ah, now you're interested, aren't you?
No, I'm actually not.
Well, you've asked
the
question.
I'm confused.
What would be no content?
This currently happening, right? So we both got our arms folded. We're very defensive.
Well, show me some love.
How do we make content out of nothing? Although we could argue again, we've been doing that for fucking 9 years.
So it could be the quintessential. Nay, the Uber episode. It could be the quintessence, the empty quintessence, the negation that is the whole, Paul, of Cheap Show.
Think about it. You're the fucking whole of Cheap Show. Big, gaping, bruised, bashed, blooded hole.
Oh, yeah? Like what? Say it. A bum hole.
A bum hole. It was a bumhole. The bashed bumhole of this podcast Eli Silverman.
Oh, I'll take that. I'll take that,
Monica. You fucking will take that. You fucking take it.
Oh, man. Why is everything anal with you?
I've got you pegged, mate. Literally and figuratively. Oh, it's almost level pegging. Peg, peg, peg. One a penny, two a penny.
Peg
man's
and seg.
Fat. Peg, peg and seg.
Let's have a pegging seg.
No. We're going to move on.
Oh, I'm glad
Let's
you're
move
having
on.
Fun.
Let's
yeah.
move on.
Doot, 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 doot. Straight from the House of Pickles, it's time for the Source Report, everybody. Paul Gannon's in the studio, and I'm Eli Silverman. I'll be bringing you Hot Sauce Report stuff.
Noodle Report.
No, it's not a noodle report.
Yeah. I wasn't listening.
You
weren't
listening.
Sauce Report.
Now, honourable mention at the top of the segment, Paul. What?
I had a funny thought in my head.
What? Top of the something like that. Top of my knob.
No, it just amused me.
Well, share, please, because that's what this is all about.
No, it was not suitable for this podcast due to some of its edgy content.
And you're trying to put all of that edgy stuff behind you, Paul. I know that.
Yeah.
Honourable mention at the top of the Source Report, Paul.
I can't do it, but it's making me laugh. I can't do what I want to do. That's making me giggling.
We were gifted.
So I'm just going to move on.
We were gifted a hot sauce a few months ago now.
Yeah, we did it on the pod, didn't we?
Tally's hot sauce, habanero and pineapple.
Didn't
and it's
we do
fermented.
It on the pod?
We did it on one of the pod
right.
or Patreon things.
I think it was a pod.
I've been using this, and let me say, Tally, fucking good job. Great sauce, beautiful. Heat, fruit, and that little bit of smoky fermented. And you know what, Paul? The big news in hot sauce is fermentation these days because pickling adds a flavour constituent and a smokiness. And so that's the way to go.
Fermentation. Ooh, fermentation is what you need if you want to get the sauce. And you need to do it, of course. Well, fermentation's what you need if you want to make a hot sauce, baby. Yeah.
And I was considering hot sauces as a thing because there's so many new hot sauces all the time.
And they're all shit.
A lot of them are shit. And a lot of what they try and do now is, like we discussed a lot of times with ketchup, is everyone's business model now is to have lots of different varieties, isn't there?
It is.
As soon as they even appear. And I think this is a problem, and I think this is why you see a lot of sauces disappear, because they haven't got a core, basic, original product, which is really good. Branching into different ones.
It's like Heinz, isn't it? Because they're known for their ketchup. More than anything else, maybe beans, but ketchup and beans, they own that, right?
Yes.
So that means they can toss off a load of things, like they're the new pasta sauces they're doing and stuff. And it's all, you see the Heinz though, and you think, oh, it must be good then, because it's from Heinz.
Well, you said it was good, didn't it?
Yeah, actually, the Heinz.
Which one did you have?
I can't remember now, but it was nice.
It's just a basic pasta sauce.
I think
sauce.
It was like maybe tomato and basil, or maybe garlic. Either way, it was like, yeah, fine. It's not, I'm not going to go crazy over it, but
Kraft is Heinz now. Heinz is Kraft, they're one big megacorp. But the sauces that we're going to cover today, Paul.
Oh, I thought that was it. We're just going to talk about that one, then move on.
No, why? What could it else could it be? What's the ultimate taboo?
But no, it was nothing. I would say unhinged. It was just something that made me giggle.
Honourable mention.
But I thought if I mentioned it, then it would be seen as insensitive. So I've just decided not to do it.
Now you've piqued my interest. Let's not do that.
Let's not do that. I mean, I gave him a visual, and then we're not going to talk about it. So we're moving on.
And I think that hot sauce companies get the wrong idea because they should come up with something like Tally did there.
Yeah.
Just one product before you just immediately start to do different versions. Get the one basic hot sauce right.
Provide we know that is the first one or it's only one. We don't know, do we? We were sent by a friend that
this
was there.
This is a hobby sauce. This is a hobby sauce. This isn't going into manufacture.
That's a genre we haven't really covered, isn't it? The hobby sauce.
A friend does make sauce. It's a big hobby because it's quite easy to do.
Yeah.
Growing chilies, very easy.
I saw in a church up the road, they grow a foot long chili or whatever
they
it was.
They do. They've got lots of kits because they are a very hardy plant that will just grow quite easily.
Yeah.
And what do you need? You need water, heat and vinegar, essentially.
Yeah.
A lot of people jump onto it. But I think a lot of the reasons why they fail, they're putting carrot in. Consistency is difficult.
Yeah.
But also,
because people don't like it runny. And so, to me, like, runny's part of it.
Yeah, I like it. Again, this is perfect. The
viscous nature of it.
Yeah, a little bit of xanthan gum.
Yeah.
Goes a long way.
Just a little bit of xanthan gum. Oi.
But it occurred to me that hot sauce, you don't use quite sparingly. And so I think another reason why a lot of these new sauce companies struggle is because you go and buy a bottle and it's like, they don't get the repeat purchases that they need in order to make the next batch.
Because the bottles are too big or something, is that
no,
what you're saying?
No, by the time you've used up your bottle, even you thought it was nice, you go back and it's not on the shelf anymore a lot of the time.
Oh.
Do you see what I mean? Because
because
the supermarket's like, oh yeah, those haven't sold that well because you only sell one. You know what I mean? The whole thing is slower.
Yeah.
Anyway, just some musings on sauce.
Musings on sauce.
Now, other mentions that we have to make. The Morley's, which are a big chicken shop chain, especially in South London.
Chicken shop chain.
And their motto is, it just tastes better, or something like that.
That's great, isn't it? What's our motto for this company? It's all right.
It's better. It's better.
It's better. Better than? It's just better. It's all right.
It's better than Bims.
Which is what? Eat that, you cunt.
No,
that
get
kind of
your
thing.
Mouth ready.
Get your mouth ready for this.
You know, Bims, the one in Walthamstow, has actually shut down and they've replaced it up with an even more terrible generic name for a burger place.
I like that one.
They're
we saw.
B-Max.
Oh.
B-Max.
B-Max. That sounds like the chummy abbreviations you say about the real name, like it's like Bernard Max thing.
B-Max.
I'm going down to B-Max.
And they famously also had the Big Hack, which is meant to be a hack of a Big Mac, but it's called a Big Hack. Hack up a Big
Cuba. You haven't, like, retro-engineered the burger.
Yeah.
It's also, when we did Night Bussin, remember Ghost Burger that we saw, whatever that
was? What is that actually referring to?
I think it's
are they vegan? Is that what it is?
No, it's a burger place, normal burger place. It's
what's
called
the
Ghost Burger.
Why Ghost?
Why not, I guess. Why not?
It makes me think of...
But we were just talking about a Ghost Burger as when you get farted in the mouth. That's what we came up with
it's
on the bus.
Just a shoot,
loop.
Opens up.
It's like the person comes up to you and goes, what would you like? And I was like, oh, I don't know, I'd like the big Ghost Burger. And then they just pull their pants down and fart deep into your gob.
Because like
they've been eating steaks for a few days.
I like to think...
And you go,
I like to think it's like one of those Dutch, you know...
Ovens.
Well, it's literally... You know, that in Amsterdam, you have those places where it's like a restaurant, but it all little... lockers that you open. It's like a vending machine restaurant.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think they have them in Japan, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
You could have that, but instead of like there being a pie or something, it's just some guy's ass. You open it.
Yeah.
I want the spicy nacho.
Yeah.
That's all
that
person's
that.
Been eating.
Oh, can I have the spicy ghost burger? Well, I'm going to have to just take some chilies. I'll be back in half an hour. Oh, baby.
There'd be a problem, though. Lawsuits with...
No, if you know what you're getting into.
With
if
solids.
You know, if
solids,
you...
there was no. That wasn't a ghost. That manifested. That ghost manifested in the form of a hot sweet corn nug-nug.
Yeah, but if you know what you're getting into...
And it hit the back of my throat. Like that.
Yeah. Get a beefy taste in your mouth, but without the calories. That's it in a nutshell.
We should tell everyone about
Night
Bussin.
And then the man turns around and puts his little hand up and then puts...
Like
little,
Salt Bae.
Yeah, Salt Bae.
Salt Bae comes up your ass.
Yeah. No, it's getting confusing. Moving on. Ghost burgers when you fart at a man's gob. Yeah, I'll put that in a fucking book.
What book?
I don't know. A book.
The book of bad ideas.
Yeah.
Paul.
Ghost burger.
Paul.
Yeah.
Cheat meals. That's the other one.
Yeah.
It pisses me off because it's sort of like it's building into the gym culture because you have a cheat day where you don't behave yourself.
Oh, so yeah. Cheat meals.
It's like calling your restaurant guilty fucking pleasures or something, you know?
Yeah. Why don't you open a shop that sells nothing and say it's for people on fasting?
Yeah. Nothing shop.
Nothing
Maybe
meals.
That's what Ghost Burger is. Anyway, Paul, we should do a little plug for Night Busing, where the Ghost Burger incident happened.
Yes. Basically, if you're a Patreon supporter, when we can, at least four times a year, we do an episode called Night Bussing, where me and Eli go on a night bus, and it's real time, largely, and it's a nice kind of weird liminal walkabout episode.
And there's four episodes up there already.
Recently did the bus route 1, 2, 3, but hey, getting to the bus was an adventure in itself. And so if you want to hear that, join us on patreon.com/cheapshow.
Now, on to the business of today.
Let's get into the business of
the
this.
The order of business, we've got two sauces to taste, Paul.
We do.
Now, I was on message when I purchased these sauces today because they were reduced if you bought the pair.
Eli is the wonderful wizard of sauce, wizard of sauce, the source of sauce, the source of coursey, the wonderful wizard of sauce.
I got sauce.
Whenever there's a sauce of coursey, horsey sauce.
Sauce from a horse.
He opens his mouth and gets all the horsey sauce in the end. Something like that.
I knew you were going to go there.
The wonderful wizard of gob.
I don't suck horses off.
I'm just saying.
I went up to a horse.
Got his sauce. Horsey sauce in my mouth, of course. Open my arse. He put it there too. Horsey saucy naughty. Naughty horsey saucy.
Nougat.
That's his name, yeah. That was the name
of the
horse.
That's the name of the horse?
Yeah.
Nougat the sauce horse. Oh, I can't even do a horse.
Oh, here comes Nougat the sauce horse. He's dirty.
Paul.
Yeah.
Calm down.
I can't. Now I've got Nougat the sauce horse in my head.
He's a handsome beast.
And he wears a baseball cap backwards. Don't know why. Just in my head, that's what he's got.
He's a cool horse.
Yeah, he is.
These sauces, retail price were $1.99 each, but... And they've got nothing to do with horses.
Oh, shame.
But...
The horsey sauce.
Paul, shut up. If you buy the pair, it's £3 for the
what
pair.
What are we doing?
So you,
what's going on
we're
here?
We're doing a sauce report.
Oh, right. Okay, go on. Lead on, Macduff.
Now, I've got two sauces. These are both sauce categories we haven't tried before.
And he's
first
sourced
one I'm handing
them
to you.
Where did you source them from?
Euromax.
No, Euromax, you rude prick. How dare you? Fucking hell, I'm on a roll.
You're a minimum. You're a minimum.
How dare you? This is
maxi
my maxi pad. Christ. Shit.
You know who needs a big maxi pad? Nougat.
Nougat.
You need to put a nappy on that horse.
Poultice.
Oh.
Nougat poultice.
Nougat poultice.
Nougat saucy horse poultice. Moving on. This is a sambal sauce, hot sauce, by a company called Ceres Foods.
Yes.
Or Ceres.
And they had several different sauces. They had a sriracha. They had a piri piri.
Yeah.
And they had these. This was interesting to me because I don't think we've specifically tasted a sambal.
No, this is suitable for vegans.
Yes.
Apparently. But then what does that say there? I can't read that for shit. Where are my glasses?
Is sambal the same as sriracha? It asks there.
Oh, okay. What's this say? Pairs well with meatballs and fish.
That's also made me think, why just meatballs? What about meat? If it's not in a ball shape, what if I took a meatball and instead of making a ball shape, I made it like a...
Into
like
a fish.
A ribbon shape or something. A fish.
I don't think
meatball.
It matters about the
why
the
meat, why meatballs?
Because
Paul.
Maybe
spiced meat, but yeah. Not plain meat.
Why not chops? Why not say chops and fish?
Yeah.
Although meatballs and fish does sound like a shit double act from the '80s. Right, sambal, is it sauce?
Here we go. Ooh. That sambal has a thing in. Are you smelling it?
I'm having a snuff.
Do you want a little?
$1.99.
I'll tell you what sambal is, mate.
$1.99 or £2 for £3.
That's right. Yeah.
It's a little sticker on it.
Now. Oh, that has a very fragrant. It's filling the whole air of the house of
very
pickles.
Fruity. It's very vinegary, but it's also very fruity.
Do you want to know what sambal is?
Yes.
It's an Indonesian chili sauce or paste. We've got the sauce version.
Yeah.
Typically made from a mixture of a variety of chili peppers with secondary ingredients such as shrimp paste. I've checked, though. You can...
Yeah, no, this says vegan, so I presume it would.
There
be.
Is no fish in this one. Garlic, ginger, shallot, scallion, palm sugar, and lime juice.
This doesn't seem sambal, as elaborate as that, to be fair.
Sambal is an Indonesian loan word of Javanese origin. It originated from the culinary traditions of Indonesia. Also an integral part of the cuisines of Singapore, Malaysia, Brunei, and Sri Lanka. So it's very much a regional, but not national, sauce
okay.
type. There,
have a
Paul.
Snuff.
Can I just show you the other sauce I've got?
Oh, I thought we were going to do one at a time. That
okay,
way we can
we'll
have focus.
Time,
I think it's helpful to focus one at a time.
Let's have a little taste of this sambal.
Go on. So... I liked it on the nose. As I say, it was very fruity and vinegary.
Oh, very vinegary. Very vinegary. But this is cheap sauce, so maybe it's not a good representation
no,
of what sambal is.
Because as I say, on the ingredients, it didn't seem as elaborate as the stuff you read
no,
out on that
No, it just looks
Wiki
like
page.
A standard ingredient, doesn't it?
It's basically like vinegars, peppers, and then
it's
like...
It's just a basic hot sauce. But well, I'm going to have a little bit of this. It's got a nice consistency, and it's got bits of chili floating around in it, kind of thick and lumpy. Let's have another a little taste of it. Ooh, salty.
Yeah, I know we say this a lot on the show, in that tasting it on its own doesn't really help it, because it does say you should have it with a meat or whatever. But
dry.
It is dry. It's a little bit too tart for me without enough flavour to back it up behind.
Yes.
This is why I'd imagine it's something that'd be better with a meat profile than...
Definitely. But not bad.
Than a dip or whatever, you know
not
what I mean?
Not bad. Definitely not a dipper. Definitely something you'd want to put with some meat or fish. Yeah,
that might go well with a chop or such.
It definitely would, but it's for the people who like their chili on the drier side.
Yeah, probably. It is a very
dry... There's no sweetness there at all.
I think it's the vinegariness that puts me off it. I think if it dialed it down a little bit, it might be more enjoyable.
Yes, it's lacking an umami, which the shrimp paste would add. So it's cheap. It's not bad. It doesn't taste like bad quality.
No,
it doesn't have that acrid taste that Ed Sheeran's sauce, for example.
That
was awful.
Acidity.
All vinegar, yeah. Now, I'm going to hand you the next...
Oh, yeah.
The next sauce we're going to do, Paul, and the final sauce of the segment today.
Indeed.
And this is also from Ceres. I bought two because I got the discount.
Oh, yeah. £3 for two. Three, yeah. So this is a masala, authentic Indian sauce. And it says here, red chilies again, water, puree vinegar, salt, cumin, thickener. I can imagine what this is going to be like, kind of a stripped-down version of a nice salsa.
What do you mean?
Well, salsa isn't a hot sauce for a start, is it? So it's taking the salsa... flavors, right? Wait, am I saying salsa? Masala, sorry.
Salsa is like a Mexican...
Sorry, I keep saying salsa. I mean,
salsa
say,
just means sauce.
Ignore that. I was meant to say masala. What I'm saying is this seems like a stripped-down masala and reconfigured into a hot sauce.
Well, funnily enough, I've gone on Wikipedia masala and it says, masala or masala in capitals may refer to spice, places, arts, entertainment and media, people, and there's other uses there. So,
yeah, we have mentioned this before, I think, where we were surprised by that. We were surprised again.
You get a masala spice. So this is just a sauce based on the masala spice profile, which is like a general... Have you heard of the term... When you make a curry, you make garam masala, which is the spice mix.
Yeah, and so you add that to whatever.
This is going to have more different flavours going on. What's the nose like?
Ooh, yeah, you can definitely smell the hot...
The cumin.
The masala in that. Juxtaposed with that intense heat of a hot sauce.
It's vinegar on the nose? I'm hoping there's less vinegar.
It is, but not as pronounced. Have a snuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting cumin. And a sweetness, almost tomato-y sort of sweetness.
But you see what I mean about it? It's a stripped-down profile of a masala that's been added to what looks like quite... roasted hot sauce.
Yes, it's a dark, but it doesn't seem to have the lumps like the sambal has.
No, but that's why that has that salsa look to it that I kind of like.
It's got a nice look, that sambal.
So I just
this
wish
it's got
was...
a bit more murky.
Yeah. So I'm going to go in. I've already poured mine. And I'm going to go in quite a lot.
This would
that's very sweet.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I would have expected.
And it does have masala notes in, but they don't overwhelm. It's a kind of nice. Well, it depends.
I'm going to taste it.
But for me, that's a nice balance of sweet. Hot sauce and a masala kind of aftertaste.
That's nice.
What would you have that with?
What does it say?
You could have it with curry, rice. It's almost sweet, so it would work almost like a mango chutney does with curry, you know?
So it literally says here, pairs well with chicken and rice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Oh, lovely. That's much nicer, much more complex, and much more going on.
It has less of a hot sauce profile, but it's part of the DNA of whatever that sauce is.
It's a lot less hot, yes.
It feels quite, I mean, these are both kind of reasonably unorthodox in that they're taking the hot sauce profile and then like attaching another kind of food culture onto it.
Yeah, no, sambal is hot sauce from that region, and it comes in very many different forms, sauces and
paste. Is a...
This is much more of a sort of bastardized sort of concoction, the masala.
Because
it's not normally a sauce. I looked on Wikipedia.
No,
it's a spice mix. It's a thing.
But what I'm saying is,
it's a general style.
This is made in the UK.
Is it?
I can't quite read it because it's quite small font. But yeah, it's definitely made in this country. So it feels like a Western take on a hot sauce that's married, like in these cases, like a masala and a sambal flavour to those profiles.
That's right, yeah. And they've got a piri piri. But I just think that the sambal is going to be very close in taste to their piri piri.
You know? Probably.
I wonder. I would like to taste their peri-peri because you know what? It looked yellow.
I think it might be nicer. I mean, sambal's fine, but
it was
you know,
a bit basic, wasn't
I couldn't
it?
Tell you from Adam what it was if you stuck it
the
away.
The masala's
whereas
got a lot more going on.
You go, oh, this has got an Indian profile to it, Indian food profile.
It's nice.
That's the cumin, obviously.
It's the cumin. And
anyway.
If you knock, then you can cumin.
Right.
And also, if you're Egyptian.
Yeah, you can toot and come in. Yeah. Do you want to do any more?
What did what spice did the
that wasn't really an invite.
What what spice did the porn actor use with his
cumin. Yeah.
Oh, I will. Oh, thank you. I will. Anyway, I'd like a rating for both those sauces from you.
What was the spice that Star Trek's lead antagonist used? Cumin. Is Q. That...
Oh, Q.
Q. Cumin.
Captain Piquant.
Ah!
Eli's done it.
He's done not only a decent gag, but one based on a pop culture reference.
Captain Piquant. Paul, what did you, what out of five, let's say, what did, would you give the series sambal sauce?
Honestly, two.
Two for you, I'll go three for that.
But I want to state it's not a bad thing. It's just overall, it's not hugely impressive.
And the masala, you'd go higher?
Yes, I would give that a solid 3.5.
Yeah, I think
3.75, and being super generous.
I think I'd go similar for you. I'd go a bit higher for the sambal, but yeah.
The sambal's probably more versatile in terms of where you can put it than the masala, but overall the masala is like more interesting. Yeah. I'd like to try it with chicken and rice. Or
nice with rice. Yeah. Nice with a curry. You get a chicken curry and you get some rice on the side, or chicken biryani. Yeah. That would really go well. Good quality sauce for the price.
Yes.
Don't you think?
For £3, yeah. Two bottles. Not bad. Not bad at all.
If you think that a bottle of Tabasco these days is easily nudging £3 itself, and it's smaller than those.
And they don't taste particularly cheap.
No, they're good. I was impressed, because I thought they might be really horrible, like the Ed Sheeran one. And that is the Sauce Report, everyone, from the House of Pickles. Sauces, we're all about it, and pickles.
And now it's time for Nougar, the saucy horse, to finish off the show with its sign-off.
It does a dance. Turn on the hot plate, and then it does the dance.
Nougar, come over here. Stand on that.
You know what? I'll get the randy dog and the horny dog both in here. They can scare it.
Mate,
to dance.
Do you really want that much muck in your room? Because it's a small room, and do you want lashings of horse and dog muck on every platform and surface? Is that what you want? Just to sign off this, is that what you want to deal with? Lashings of hot, sticky, like viscous dog and horse muck.
Dog and horse muck.
Dripping from your fittings, your shelving. Poor little Luigi, he'd have his face covered in muck. He wouldn't be able to, it would take weeks to wash off, because that stuff stains.
I've got a galley.
Nougar's muck stains. It's like alien acid. I've seen it lash on the floor and leave a stain.
That's because you feed Nougar...
Carrots.
No, carrots don't stain his muck.
No, but it thickens it up.
No, it doesn't.
That's what I use him to do. I thicken up his spunk with carrots. Force carrots into his mouth.
No, carrots don't do it. You need xanthan gum and magnesium tablets.
All right, well, I'll put that in the carrots then.
And then why?
For thicker muck.
We need to get...
We've got to stop making production of, like, those YouTubers who are like, oh, here's my dirty knickers or my bathwater, and you can buy it. We should sell jars of the thickest Nougar horsey sauce.
We'd have to source an actual horse and not an imaginary one.
Of course.
Press the button. Fuck's
sake. Or we could pretend. They don't know, do they?
What, we'd have to fill jars of spice
Yeah,
ourselves.
Between the two of us. We'll just fill up a couple of jars.
Who's going to buy our spunk?
I don't know. We'll just say, oh, at the live show, come and buy some horsey muck.
I don't like this bit, Paul. I've been trying to get out. It's been really bad.
Come back, Eli. Help me finish this segment where I fucking jack off an imaginary horse into a great big bell jar and fill it to the brim with thick...
A bell jar, Paul, is one of those upright jars. It's a bell
jar that
you cover a cake with.
That's why I'm
having
trouble
filling
it.
It's not like a jar. You're thinking of a...
This segment's over. This segment's over
right
now.
It's called it. I tried to get out.
Okay, I should have ended it a long time ago. Horse muck.
Of course, sambal, not to be confused with sambar, which is the South Indian.
The Sauce Report is over, and it is designated a past event, so it will be no longer reference to
tamarind gravy.
I want context, but I also don't want this conversation to go further.
Well, if you hadn't interrupted me so rudely, you would have had the context.
Anyway, it is time for Paul's Page Turners, that calming, relaxing part of the show where I... pick a book that I bought in a charity shop and I go, ooh, let's have a bit of a read of it. And this week, I've got something a little bit different, kind of. You know, I've got those books we've done in the past where it was...
World's Famous Misers of the World.
Yeah, or Con Men and Tricksters or whatever.
This is in the same series?
It's the same series by Octopus Books. Now, what's funny about this is I got this on eBay for like £2 a couple of years ago. Right, 2 years ago maybe? And I've just been sitting on it basically, waiting to use it. Never got round to it. But then... I was watching Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and at the beginning of the film, Dan Aykroyd's doing Dan Aykroyd ghosty weird stuff, and he's holding a copy of this very book, Strange But True, the world's weirdest newspaper stories, edited by Tim Healy, right? And then I went on eBay the next day, and copies of this were going for like 100 quid.
Wow.
Just because it was in a Ghostbusters film.
You shouldn't be reading it. Keep it in good nick.
This is the same nick I got it in, pretty much.
This is this is a prop, you're saying, from the latest Ghostbusters film?
No, this existed. It's a real thing. It's a real book. What I'm saying is, because it was featured in the Ghostbusters film, all of a sudden interest in it went right up. Mostly Ghostbusters fans and people out to exploit Ghostbusters fans.
Well, you do collect Ghostbuster memorabilia, ephemera, don't you?
But you could say this is the first time I've actually bought something before the film made it somewhat popular.
And I'm looking forward to watching, I don't know if that's the right word, looking forward.
No.
But, I'm anticipating we're going to do a commentary on Frozen Empire.
We are, for patrons again. We're going to do that before Halloween. Just, if no one's heard the one we did for Afterlife, you'll be surprised to hear you got far more angry about its existence than I did.
I was angered by the shoddiness of the filmmaking. Not really, you know, not the Ghostbusters thing. I'm not like a huge fan.
Yeah.
I'm not into, you know, I'm not one of these people.
The actual meat and potatoes of the production of it got you. Because until I watched it with you.
The editing mainly.
Yeah, until I watched it with you, I didn't really let that sink in. But there were moments where you were going, what happened there? And I was like, yeah, what did happen there with
it? It wasn't
edit?
Clear what happened. The editing was bad.
It was weird. Anyway, look, besides
no, so
all that,
I'm anticipating that, Paul.
I think you might, quote unquote, enjoy it more than Afterlife considerably. But anyway, that's for patrons and we're doing that soon. Anyway, Strange But True. On the back it says, three handicapped monkeys mug Mountain Man.
How do they get into my dream like that?
Police are scouring the slopes for one of China's holiest mountains, for free mugger monkeys who, according to reports, have been robbing tourists and pilgrims.
I can believe that.
Each of the three old monkeys has a physical defect. One is hare-lipped, another is one-eyed, and the third only has three fingers on the right hand.
I thought they were going to say has no ears, like see no evil, hear no evil,
yeah,
speak no evil.
You'd think they'd do that, but no, they kind of half-arsed it in many respects.
Is this on the back cover of this book?
This is how they're selling it, with this clip.
The one mugger monkey thing.
Hamster horror, super hamster
feared. Oh,
now,
Richard Gere.
Stop propping that lie up. It's not
such
true.
A cliched lie.
Yeah, robot jailed and kilted soldiers sought for virility tests. So anyway, this book is a collection of alleged stories from newspapers, that's what it says, but they seem to have been re-edited and rewritten by this Tim Healy chap. The chapters, Animal Crackers, Strange Things Animals Do, Disorderly Conduct, Loners, Weird Stunts, Religion and the Occult, Wonders of Science, Phenomena, Death and Burial, and The Ultimate Taboo. Which is cannibalism, spoilers. It's cannibalism.
And it caused us to say, which would you prefer to do, eat a corpse or fuck it?
Well, this is, no, you didn't say it like that.
Didn't
you
didn't say it like that.
What was the most transgressive of the two?
Which would you, if you had to do one, obviously, we're normal and we don't want to either eat human flesh or fuck human flesh that's dead. I do want to fuck human flesh, but not when it's dead.
Clarifying
focus,
clear. Please, quick.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, the bottom line is,
how am I
going
to get a job? I'm going to have to get a normal job in about 10 years' time.
Yeah.
You know that? And they're going to just
I would think about that sooner.
No, they're going to press the button.
It's
going to be a recording of me going, I'd rather fuck
a corpse. All right, and you want to... Yeah, and you want to work with a...
As an accountant.
As an accountant, do you? Okay, good.
Anyway, Paul, just one thing about these books.
Yeah.
Got a real nostalgia of when I used to be at Brent Cross and being W.H. Smith, and these would be on the shelf next to the magazines.
Always.
And the Michael Caine, not a lot of people know that books, and the Hagar the Horrible compilations, and the Peanuts compilations, and the Garfield books, the girls' magazines with the little free combs you got on the cover, and
shut up.
Oh, I didn't deserve
no,
that.
No, you didn't, but I know if I didn't do something, that you would just go on and make a further list of other similar
I like
things.
Lists.
Yeah, I know.
Are there any lists in this book?
No.
Can I do a list?
One day. You used to do top three. What happened to those?
I could come back with those.
What happened to your life hacks or whatever they were called?
You know something that occurred to me, Paul?
8 minutes and we've not done in the book yet.
I know this is on sauce, but mayonnaise, right?
Oh, can't do
it's
this.
It's one of the world's top sauces, but it's not known as a sauce. Is it?
What would you call it then?
It's a condiment. It's not called a sauce. It is a sauce, though.
But ketchup is a sauce and called a condiment.
Yeah. You see? It's a confusing world.
Salad cream.
That's definitely a sauce, but it's a dressing.
Is it a thickness? Because mayo's just mayo, as thick as anything
yes,
else.
But mayo seems to exist in this world, this condiment space in between the sauce and a dressing. I think we've put our finger on it. It's in between mayonnaise.
Can we stop talking about this and talk about the book? This is the segment. You've had plenty of time. At least half an hour of this show has been dedicated to sauce this evening. So give me some time for this. You've had your say. Congratulations. Well done.
Okay, I'm waiting.
But maybe you want to put a pin in that for another episode, eh? Your big mayo debate, eh? Put a pin in it for another day.
I will.
Thank you.
Although a pin in the mayo just goes straight through.
I'm going to just crack on with this.
I mean, fine.
Right, so I could read out some of the longer stories, but I want to get through this quite quickly. So there's a couple of box outs throughout the book.
Is that
little
what this...
micro stories.
Is a box out, is that the term?
It is when I was
like
working
in
magazines. Yeah. They would call them box outs. So when I wrote an article for Video Games Magazine, it was like 800 words and two box outs would fill out three pages
I
or
see,
whatever.
Yeah.
That's how I would...
Fascinating.
Yeah.
But that's not the same as the little quotes from the text that they do.
No, they're just quotes.
They're just little quotes, yeah.
So
they annoy me.
Let's have a quick spin through their box outs. So,
let's have some of these box outs.
A strange gift in the Animal Crackers chapter says, in Northampton, a pickled monkey, which once acted in one of D.W. Griffiths' pictures, is perhaps the strangest gift ever presented to Smith College, which has received many useful, ornamental, and historically valuable presents. And that's in the Springfield Republican paper.
See? They're trying to zhuzh it by calling it pickled. No one's eating the monkey on a piece of bread with some mustard, are they?
No, the monkey must have been a prop
it's
or
embalmed.
A character.
It's embalmed or stuffed.
But pickle sounds funnier, doesn't it? Pickled monkey.
That's what I'm trying to say. Less of this colour, please, Mr. Tim Whitley-Stall, or whatever you're called.
The thing is, you know who D.W. Griffiths is?
An early pioneer of the cinema.
He was, right? But you know, unfortunately, what one of his most famous films is?
He did
Birth of a Nation yeah. Which is the, aren't fascists and racists
terrible.
Good?
Terrible.
The Ku Klux Klan film, basically.
Yeah, and it led to the revival of the Ku Klux Klan in the 20th century, didn't it?
Long story short, yeah, basically, but at all.
Funnily enough... Because in the section on cults, they include the Ku Klux Klan, don't they? In this, as a cult.
Yeah.
As a zany cult.
As a wacky concept.
Yeah. So Griffiths was a huge racist then.
He was meant to be telling the story about the birth of America. And that's what he thought this version of the story, that's its point of view.
It's terrible.
And it's terrible. But the Ku Klux Klan was seen as a bit of a joke before that film came out.
Yeah.
And it kind of happens a lot.
Well,
seems
they are
joke.
Ridiculous with their stupid hoods and stuff, aren't they? You know, they're
fucking
silly.
Ridiculous, stupid cunts.
Stupid,
it really
ridiculous
is that
cunts.
Dumb. So they're not a silly cult. They are a dangerous bunch of cunts.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Dummy is the next story. This comes from the Brighton and Hove. It's a letter for the Brighton and Hove Herald.
Okay.
Doesn't say what year. And just the title is just called Dummy. What nonsense to suggest, as your woman's page did last week, that the use of a dummy is either unhygienic or a bad habit, which could become hard for the baby to break. I have derived great comfort from my dummy for almost 40 years and find it gives much greater oral satisfaction than an unhealthy cigarette. It is also much cheaper. That's troubling.
That's
I
true.
Wouldn't have written into a newspaper about that.
Very troubling, and he's definitely writing that sitting in a big old nappy.
Nappy with the woman next door who comes over to change him.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean?
He pays quite handsomely.
Margaret, Dum-Dum needs his boppy bop.
No, I remember seeing a strange kink, the adult baby thing.
No, I know. I've seen the Channel 4 documentary from a while ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
We saw the same thing, obviously. It's a sub-segment of the...
I mean, to each their own, right?
The submissive field, isn't it? It's a type of submissive.
They're often in high-ranking positions who are in control. And
they were all like CEO, posh CEO
type. Yeah, because that's how they release that. They get to be, you know, put on the foot, if you know what I mean.
I don't like it.
It's funny, though, because I was wondering if, like, next week, the same guy wrote in to say, your story about babies wearing nappies for too long, I thought was ingenuous. I've been wearing my nappy now for 40 years and Margaret from next door comes over to wipe my dirty cack bot.
Yes, it's disturbing in the same way when you get sort of 8-year-old...
It's a lot cheaper than using toilet paper.
8-year-old kids who still breastfeed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyway... I don't know why it made me think of that.
I mean, I think that's shocking because I was breastfed up until the age of 42.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the only reason is because mother went barren with her titty milk. And
titty
so
milk
I now,
went barren.
I now call upon Nougat to come through.
Oh,
and
that's
give
not
me
milk, mate.
Dick titty milk.
That's not milk. Horse dick titty milk is not milk.
Dick titty milk is just as good as any other milk on the market.
Yes, but you have to jostle Nougat's bollocks to get it to go.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
It's horsey bollocks.
Yeah, and I have it whole. I don't have skimmed.
There's actually a new product in the shop. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
Nougar's Nougar. Do you know what that is? It's the dick wax off the horse that has been prized out with a dick
Nougar's
wax.
Nougar's dick wax Nougar. How about that? I swear this podcast brings out... This actual room brings out the worst in us.
It's the worst.
Oh, it is. Paul, come on, I want to do a few more of these.
Can I just say, he's right about them being healthier...
than a cigarette, yeah.
And less expensive. That's what I'm saying. So there's some truth there. And it's a similar oral fixation. But fine, let's have another box.
This is called All Dressed Up, and I showed you the picture of this. It's a weird monkey picture.
It's a monkey man.
Yes, images on our website, thecheapshow.co.uk, to go along with this week's episode. All Dressed Up. Some people have made a profession out of their skill in dressing up. The Strand magazine of 1849 contains an interesting account of pantomime artist Mr. Charles Lorry's varied impersonations of parrots, poodles, and some other creatures. It also recounts a capital story of how Mr. Lorry was great friends with an old monkey at London Zoo. The monkey's name was Sally, and the performer would study and imitate her movements for hours.
Yeah, and?
If she was flinging shit, he was flinging shit. He was pooping in his hand and going, oopie, oopie, and then throwing it at people. That's what he was doing.
Oopie, oopie.
Oh, no. One sad day, Sally died. Her keepers regretted that they did not have a photograph of her. Mr. Lorry told them he had plenty, and then went off, had himself made up to look like the deceased monkey, and then faced the cameras.
Oh, he didn't really have photos.
No, he just said, I'll dress up as a monkey, and I'll pretend to
I've
be
got
Sally.
This.
Call me
what
Sally.
Strange man.
Call me Sally.
There's something frightful about that photograph.
It is kind of haunting.
It's haunting.
Because there's very human eyes coming out of a very weird monkey man mask.
Yes. You know what it reminds me of? I used to collect this magazine called The Unknown, which was like a sort of Fortean Times sort of thing, which had all ghosts and UFOs and stuff. And there is a very famous sort of cryptid, which is, they say it's a sort of, it's like a black and white photo, but they reckon it's a spider monkey.
Okay.
You know the one I mean? It's just big, and they said it was like a man ape or a yeti.
Ugh.
But in fact, it's like this spider monkey corpse that is propped up with a stick. Do you know the one
gross.
I mean? That
photo. I know what you're seeing.
That reminds me of it.
It's like all
sort
that stuff.
Sort of a spindly, weird spindly monkey.
And all the mermaid stuff. You know, it was like half fish, half monkey.
Definitely of that ilk, yeah.
Grim. One more story
like
then.
Like a made-up cryptid, basically.
Yeah.
In an old black and white photo.
I mean, that's what the freak show circuses were the day, weren't they? Stitched together... what's the word when you stuff animals?
Stuffed.
No, it's not ventriloquism. What is it called? When you stuff an animal and you mount it and it's there forever.
That's stuffing.
Norman Bates was one in Psycho. Yeah, but there's a term for it.
An embalmist.
No, embalmers when you flood the body with those chemicals to preserve it. What is it when you stuff an animal and that's your job? Okay, Google, what's the name of a man who stuffs animals? Taxidermy.
Taxidermy.
Taxidermy. Oh, I bet you were shouting it at home, weren't you? I bet you were listening.
I don't know why it didn't come into my head. I was just waiting for it to pop into my head.
Yeah. Taxidermy. What are we talking about? I've lost... Oh, fuck it. Right, last
what
story.
What did the
Uber driver...
have to deliver the dead horse...
in his taxidermy.
Oh.
Very poor. Right.
Well, I did have Captain Piquant. Everyone remember
that?
No.
You've still got that in your back pocket. I'll give you that. That's fine work. Final story from this book today.
I should have said Captain Luke Piquant. That would have really sold it.
Yeah, but it's fine. We still got it. It was still very good. I'm still very happy with it.
Let's have another one of these boxes. They're fun, Paul.
Because this is something we can come back to on and off, I think, these little mini
ones.
Yeah,
well, I wouldn't mind another box, though.
All right, let's do one more. The World's Most Determined Murderess. The title belongs to a 36-year-old American woman who devised a series of bizarre schemes to murder her husband. Finally succeeding in San Diego, California, the case was reported in January 1978.
A poisoner?
What did she do? You're asking to yourself.
A poisoner.
What elaborate way? Well, she put LSD in his toast, served him blackberry pie containing a venom sac of a tarantula spider, placed bullets in the carburetor of his lorry, tossed a live electric wire into his shower, injected air into his veins with a hypodermic needle to try and induce a heart attack.
Who is this guy, like Rasputin or something?
Yeah.
He'll fucking die.
She finally succeeded by dropping tranquilizers into his beer and smashing his skull with a steel weight.
Wow, he must have been a hardy fellow.
He was either that or Wile E. Coyote. You know, it was just one of these. That's really determined.
I mean, the air in the vein, that'll
come on,
do you.
By the time you've eaten through a tarantula egg sack, you'd be like, maybe me and you need to work things out or move
didn't
on.
Didn't he notice? This is the thing. He didn't notice. Yeah, he must have been an alcoholic.
What do you do when you have LSD on toast?
You just trip out.
But then you don't go, I'll be off the toast for a little while.
Well, you don't know.
Did he think it was it ergot or whatever it is, that yeasty thing that makes people hallucinate? What's it called?
Ergot is a fungus.
But isn't it found in bread? And it was like a
that
part
is
of
found
the...
in off bread and stuff.
Yeah.
It grows on wheat that contains LSD, but you wouldn't. There's no way you can get hold of ergot. She's not going to cultivate some ergot. Or maybe it is a mistranslation. But LSD itself is famously, you can drive someone crazy with a massive dose.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's what I'm
saying. And you can scare the shit out of them and put them in a sort of mental asylum, possibly.
Yeah,
you can't actually. There's no toxicity. It's huge.
But this is what I'm presuming.
You can't overdose on LSD.
I'm sure a vast amount of it is not good for your brain in the long run, right?
No, but it's not,
but
like
it's not
toxic
inherently
to the actual,
a poison.
Yeah. You see what I mean? It's not a poison, yeah.
But even so, the logic of I'm going to put LSD in your toast is, okay, so it's like saying, one, LSD on toast, two, blank, three, profit. It's like, what's the thing in the middle that you're trying to do to kill him? You want him to jump out of a window by himself?
Yeah.
He's tripping out.
That's what I mean. It's not a direct poison, so that's why that stood out to
me.
Whereas a venom sack, you hope he just dies from the venom sack.
Or spiders burst from his mouth and eat him alive from the inside, or something gross.
Whoa.
Just something dark and
that's
gross
not,
like
the venom
that.
Venom sack isn't where the eggs are. You're thinking
of
the
like
egg sack.
LSD toast. All I can think of is like young Sherlock Holmes, you know, with the blowpipe. And then they start hallucinating and they jump out of a window or they...
Is that when the pane of glass comes
to
life?
And he runs out into the road out the way and he gets hit by a horse and it's an accident.
Yes.
You know, it's like, is it that?
Well, that's what the whole of the MK Ultra, the tests that the CIA did with acid back in the day, that's what they were trying to find out.
Yeah.
If you could use it as a weapon to drive someone crazy.
Yeah, you said MK Ultra, didn't you, just then? Yes.
It's not very it's not very effective like that because it's not a delirium. It's a hallucinogen, which means hallucinogens, you see stuff, but it's not like with a delirium drug, I might be sitting here, I've done it, and then suddenly Dracula's in here. And Dracula's real, and they're talking to me, and I can see them, and they're doing stuff.
Okay.
So with an LSD type drug, that will never be... You'll see shapes, you'll see colours, and but it all be constantly...
It's more like morphing reality rather than inserting things into reality.
Yes, and those class are deliriums, and those are much more effective as truth serums.
Yeah,
and
they
driving
break
people
down,
crazy. Yeah. They break down the whole... They sound terrible.
They're defensive.
Terrible. Those chemicals
last
sound
podcast
terrible.
On the left did a really good like 5-part breakdown of the whole kind of MK Ultra drugs in the
they literally ran sort of sex party brothel houses.
It's a
two-way mirrors.
It's
and
a
stuff.
Crazy story. But anyway, that's our stories out the way for this week. But I promise you, next time you read Strange But True, I'll read this one out. What's it called?
The Noble Sperm Bank.
Yeah, well, I'll read that one out next time we do it. How about a bit of that? But in terms of this week, that's this week's Paul's Page Turner, Strange But True, edited by Tim Healy on Octopus Books, which
Nougat
is now too expensive on eBay to buy, but I got dead cheap. Ha ha ha, I win.
Nougat uses one of those.
What?
A Noble Sperm Bank.
I am going to end that there. I'm going to end that there.
Come on, that's at least as good as piquant. Noble.
Thing is, when it comes to your when it comes to your gags, I have a few equestrians for you on that. Thank you, and that's where we're signing off. Yo, 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 this show's over, yo.
It's over, yo.
But look.
How was House of Pickles feel for you?
It was nice to be back in here. It does.
It's
I think
more
it
intimate.
Makes us a bit more demented for some reason in here. Maybe people will like that.
Okay.
I don't know. Either way, it's nice to be back.
Going forward, we might have a few more episodes in here.
In here.
But we're going to do some at your house as
Indeed,
well, as we
Harrah
have been
house
doing.
On the hill. Yeah.
What do you think about doing some of these cheap shot videos in here, Paul?
I've always said if we can get the space.
We can sit there.
Yeah, put the camera on the table.
You think?
It's a very small room. But look, I've always said to you, we'll do it when there's space to do it.
I mean,
we'll have to move this stuff.
But that's doable.
Yeah.
The state I've got it in today.
Anyway,
good to see you. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Wait, shut up. Cheap shots are our fortnightly videos on YouTube. Where me and him just muck about and upload it. But if you want anything else, social media, videos, dedicated pages to the episodes, all that kind of stuff, it's our one-stop shop, thecheapshow.co.uk. And this podcast is supported by our wonderful Patreon supporters. And you can join them on patreon.com/cheapshow. Get access to extra podcasts, behind-the-scenes stuff, magazines, extra videos, early access to cheap shots, and, you know, night bussing, loads of good stuff. And that's it. And also, don't forget, if you want to get tickets to our live show on the 19th of October in London as part of the Cheerful Evil podcast
Bedford
Festival,
Arms.
Just go to our website. Again, there's a link on there to the tickets. They or look up.
Flipping out. You'd have to be fast because they are...
Or get them by going to the Cheerful Evil podcast website and just typing in Cheap Show. That should find it. Right, Eli, do you still do your show on Soho Radio?
I do. That is from 2 till 4 every other Sunday, the House of Pickles sound show. And you can listen, if you just want to see what it's like, just go on Mixcloud, type in the House of Pickles sound show. Lots of episodes there, including the latest from the other day.
Right, I'm going to go off. I'm going to ride off on Nougat now.
A horse for riding.
He is. He's going to take me to the shops. He said I could ride on his back.
He's not saddled.
Once. I know, it's fine. I said I could ride him.
Bareback.
Yeah, bareback. I'm riding, but
you're
rough,
new
roaring bareback. Bareback.
All right, go on then.
All right. I'm just going to get on top. Here you go.
Bye then.
Cheap show away. Me.
I guess I'll just I'll feed the horny dog and the randy dog.
Ruff.
I've got a little bowl for each of them.
Ruff.
That says horny, that says randy. Plenty of magnesium tablets in there. Oh, they're starting. Oh, they're both. Oh. Bye, everyone. Oh, I hate that.
Bye, everyone. I'm fucking a dick of a horse. And that's how we end Cheap Show this week.
You've ridden off. You always break the reality.
We went in the corner.
You rode off.
We went behind your coat rack and I sucked Nougat off. Goodbye, everyone. See you next week.